Now, how can we avoid stumbling others in matters of conscience? Brother Jared Hine of the Primrose Congregation will discuss this with his talk, Do Not Wound the Conscience of Your Brother. Brother Hine, please.
When we're asked to do a certain task, what's our response? Well, hopefully, we do everything that is required of us in order to fully accomplish that task. You know, Jesus gave us something that's a little more important than just a task. He gave us a command. It's the second greatest command, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So what is required of us in order to fully follow that command? One aspect of that is we have to consider others when we make personal decisions. You know, this is a requirement for us to actually show that genuine love for our neighbor. You know, our decisions affect other people. And if we're not careful, they could actually wound the consciences of our brothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 notes the seriousness of this issue. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. It says, really, by your knowledge, the man that is weak is being ruined, your brother for whose sake Christ died. But when you people thus sin against your brothers and wound their conscience that is weak, you are sinning against Christ. In order for us to make proper decisions in life, we have to train our conscience according to God's word, the Bible. But that scripture shows us that not all of us have developed our consciences to the same degree. It mentions here a conscience that is weak. Perhaps this is a conscience that is untrained or maybe easily suppressed or overly sensitive. So when we make decisions that don't take into account the consciences of others, we could wound their conscience. That scripture says we would actually be sinning against our brother. In other words, we could play a part in making it difficult for our brothers and sisters to remain faithful to Jehovah. The scripture notes that if that was to happen, we're actually sinning against Jesus. This is a very serious issue, and Jesus mentioned it when he said if we're to stumble our brother, it would have been better off for us to hang a millstone around our neck and to be thrown into the sea. Very serious. Obviously, none of us want to wound the conscience of our brother and sister. We all want to help each other out, don't we? We're in this together. And we can help each other out when we make decisions that are based on scriptural principles. This morning, we talked about a number of them. But things get a little more difficult because not every decision is black and white. The Bible doesn't cover every specific situation that comes up. So there's room for a variety of choice in life. So when we're faced with an issue that isn't directly condemned in the Bible, each and every one of us has to decide for ourselves whether or not this thing is wholesome or it's not wholesome. So let's imagine we're in that situation right now. There's an issue in front of us, and you know, it's not condemned in the Bible. So, yeah, we think about it, we meditate on it. Yeah, I think it's okay to do. I think it's wholesome. What's our next action? Do we dictate that our brothers and sisters adopt our view on this conscience matter? Really interesting scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:16. Let's turn there together, please. Ecclesiastes 7:16. So the question we want to answer, would we insist that others adopt our view on matters of conscience? It says, do not become righteous overmuch, nor show yourself excessively wise. Why should you cause desolation to yourself? So if we're to make a decision on a conscience matter, and then dictate that our brothers and sisters follow that decision, this scripture actually has a title for us. We never want to be described as righteous over much, do we? If we were to be that way, it's kind of like a driver that's on a road, and he demands that everyone else on that road hold to the speed that he prefers them to. No, it's never going to happen. That's unreasonable. It's to no benefit. So we don't want to wound the consciences of our brothers. We don't dictate what others do in matters of conscience. But something we do want to do, we want to seek the advantage of others. And we do that because we have that genuine love for each other, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, talk about what seeking the advantage of others would actually include. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. It says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are advantageous. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let each one keep seeking not his own advantage, but that of the other person." Our decisions we make, they might be scripturally okay, but do they build our brother up? We see that in the scripture. You know, it's lawful, but it doesn't build up. It's lawful, but it's not advantageous. So what do we do at that point? Well, out of the respect for the consciences of others, we wouldn't insist on our own rights. You know, we wouldn't seek our own advantage. Even if that's really unpleasant, we may think, well, I really enjoy doing this thing. You know what? For the sake of my brother, I'll refrain. And this will affect our decisions in matters of entertainment, dress and grooming, employment, even the use of alcoholic beverages. But if we do take into consideration the consciences of others when making decisions on matters like that, it really shows that we want to follow Jesus. We're truly displaying that love, which is the key identifying mark of Jesus' followers. So, how have some been seeking the advantage of others? Well, we have three examples. Some of our brothers and sisters may serve amongst others of little means. So they may decide to perhaps dress more simply or live a more modest lifestyle than their finances might allow. A second example is of a sister who's newer to the truth. She may have just come from a religious community that emphasized plainness, but she would make sure she would never impose her conscience on her brothers and sisters that choose to dress more fashionably. Our third example is of a brother who desires to be a generous host, and he would make sure he would never pressure his guests who decline alcoholic beverages. And you know, even on that occasion, for the sake of their conscience, he might abstain himself. So we see in those three examples, our brothers and sisters are really putting others ahead of themselves. They're seeking the advantage of others. We're now going to interview a local elder on this subject. Brother Odegaard, have you seen publishers who've made personal decisions that take into consideration the consciences of others?
Yes, I've seen a few examples. One that stuck with me was about a sister, a ring, and her Bible study.
Okay, Brother Odegaard, you got our attention. Can you please relate that experience to us?
Well, this sister and her husband were studying with a couple from another country, and during one study, she noticed that this lady just kept looking at her and was totally distracted. So after the study, she asked her, "What's wrong?" She brushed it aside, but she pressed a little bit further. And finally, the lady said, "I can't believe you're wearing a ring like that, with that kind of stone in it."
So what was the issue that this Bible student had with this ring?
Well, in her country, that type of stone is known to have either magical or special powers. So that's what shocked her.
Okay, but obviously our sister knew that wasn't true. Did our sister just simply dismiss the comments of the Bible student and wear the ring anyway?
No. And she did know that it wasn't scripturally wrong, but when she saw that it bothered her, despite the fact that it was a gift and it had certain sentimental value, she made a decision. She was not going to wear that ring anymore.
It's interesting. So it was a bit of a sacrifice not to wear that ring. But can you say that Jehovah blessed her decision?
Yes, absolutely.
In what ways is that?
Well, one, she learned a very valuable lesson from this experience.
What was that lesson?
Well, even in making personal decisions, something as small as putting something on, like a ring, to always take into consideration the other person. And that's what she did from then on.
Okay, so that's one blessing. It's interesting. Were there any other blessings?
Yes. Well, because she did this and thought of the Bible student, that student continued to progress. And now that student and our sister are friends, and that Bible student is also one of our sisters today.
Oh, what a beautiful experience. Thank you, Brother Odegaard. So we see in that experience, didn't our sister really display reasonableness? You know, she had to make a sacrifice not to wear the ring anymore. She put aside her own feelings on that. But she was blessed. She learned a valuable lesson that she was able to use later on. And you know, Jehovah blessed her with a beautiful progressive Bible study. Reasonableness. Doesn't that maintain unity? Promotes kingdom interests? Glorifies Jehovah? Isn't that way more important than exercising our own perceived rights? Wouldn't the unreasonable thing be to demand our rights? Imagine ourselves in this situation. We're driving our vehicle on the road, and up in front of us, right on the road, are some children playing. So is this our thought process? Well, you know, I have the legal right to maintain this maximum speed level. So, you know, if they don't want to get hurt, they can move. Well, obviously, we would never be that way, would we? We would be putting others in danger just because we're putting ourselves first. Our goal should be what Romans 14 and 19 says. Let's turn to that scripture, please. Romans 14, 19. So then, let us pursue the things making for peace and the things that are upbuilding to one another. We want to make decisions that promote peace, build each other up. We want to be reasonable. You know, the really nice thing about reasonableness is that it allows for differences in personal matters without sacrificing that peace. You know, if we're reasonable, we can have that flavor and that variety within the congregation that we all enjoy without sacrificing peace. I believe it's our fifth review question today was, how can we avoid wounding others in matters of conscience? The answer, by being willing to forgo personal preferences that might damage the sensitivities of others. So may all of us continue to seek the advantage of others, even in the matters of personal choice. A great opportunity to show our love. If we do that, we can be confident that Jehovah will bless our efforts to avoid wounding the conscience of our brother.
Thank you, Brother Hine, for those reminders.